and what they, you know, refer to with the Jewish people. They try to refer to the Gentile people. But we are in a place where rapture can happen anytime. And the times are really revealing. We don't know exactly the day or hour. No one knows that. But we're surely in that bracket, in that time zone where things are happening. And it's incredible what's happening right now in the world around us. You know, John the Revelator, and John in Revelation, he wrote letters to the churches. And he was on the Isle of, over there, the Bible says, Isle of Patmos. And he was exiled. And apparently, they couldn't kill him. And you know, they tried different ways of killing him. But he, Jesus told him he's going to live a long, long time. And he's going to be so old that people are going to carry him to places they didn't want to go. But the Lord told him that he's going to live a long time. And he gave us, he wrote this book, it's called Revelation, not Revelations, Revelation. And he wrote in that book, and he mentions these churches there, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodiceans. And these Ephesus, he mentioned there, they were people of a church that had gotten cold, they had no love, they were loveless people. And you ever notice that? The world is getting a little bit more or less loving and kind. You have to remind people to be kind, even Christians. We have the Spirit of Christ in us. The Bible says the love of Christ restrains us. The Bible says it restrains us from acting out and being mean to people. And there's another church here called Smyrna. And that's where all the Smurfs live. You know? Smyrna. It's called a perfect, they call it the persecuted church. And, you know, we're not that persecuted right now. We are. We're going to have to stand our ground. And I believe that we need to stand our ground. If you're going to be persecuted, and if you're going to fight for what you believe, you need to really know what you believe. You're going to have to really know Jesus is Lord, Holy Spirit is real. And the other night, we were going to bed. I told my wife about if I would never been in ministry, if the Holy Spirit didn't come to me and show me some things about my own life. I would have never done it. I was doing okay. You know, I was just about to enter my PhD program and finish off what I wanted to do there and come and do my own kind of business. I wanted to work on my own with the universities and travel and different things. And I had my own plan laid out until the Lord came to visit me and told me about the ministry, and the Lord spoke to my wife as well. And we never even went out bat an eye about the ministry. Well, I remember after my experience with the Lord, and I told her about the time that I was filled with the Spirit. And it was such a glorious experience. In Acts chapter 2, it talks about in there that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. It says that the Holy Spirit came as a rushing mighty wind. A rushing wind. And they were all sitting in that one place. And cloven tongues of fire sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they all spoke with tongues at the same time. And, you know, it was, I'm sure it was a glorious experience. Jesus' mother was there. That's what convinced me to receive the Holy Spirit, because Jesus' mother was there. Because I was a good Catholic boy. And I wanted to know if Jesus' mother was there. She was there. They told me. Gave me scriptures. And she was filled with the Spirit, spoke in tongues. And I prayed about it about a month, and I got filled with the Spirit, spoke in tongues. And I was telling her, this experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit was so vivid, so real to me. And I'm there with the Spirit. When the Spirit came upon me, I don't know if you've ever been in a really, really windstorm, and the way it feels, and if you've ever been in the water, and if you stood in the water, and the waters were rushing by you, it's in the rapids, that's exactly what it felt like. And when the Spirit came upon me, I could hear something coming up, you know, and it went like this. like really, really loud. And it kept coming louder and louder and louder. And it was tremendously powerful, the Spirit, you know. And then I went into this atmosphere. I went out into this atmosphere in the very presence of God. And I don't know, it seemed like I came out of there. It seemed like I lost awareness of where I was. Have you ever been knocked out? or something? I came to. It seemed like I came to. I came out of this. And the Lord began to tell me later on why I had some certain experiences in my life. Because had I not had these experiences, I would have never been a pastor, because I was determined to do what I was going to do. The Lord had to give me. Here's what Brother Hagin said about these experiences that I experienced myself. And the Holy Ghost, you know, there's something called signs and wonders, and we're going to see more of those in the last days. I'm going to say something right now. We as a church will have to experience more of the supernatural than ever before. People are not going to be convinced. You know, we're just talking to people. They're going to be convinced because of demonstrations of God's power. And I've heard so many prophecies over the years, and Brother Hagin gave us some prophecies before and gave us other prophecies from other people who said that the culmination of the power of God that we will see would be all the powers that we've seen in history put together in one move, in one time. The signs and wonders are going to happen. And Smith Wigglesworth prophesied that. Lester Summerall prophesied that. Brother Hagin prophesied that. The Lord showed him that in these last days we're going to see a tremendous pulling of the Spirit of God so that it will demonstrate. And so what happened to me, I was convinced because of the anointing of God, because of the demonstration of God, to come in and become a pastor. Otherwise, I would not become a pastor, because I did not want to. I didn't see any money in it. I didn't see any glory in it. I didn't see any prestige in it. I didn't see what I would consider. I never knew any pastor. I didn't want to go into ministry. And people are attracted to power. They're attracted to status. They're attracted to fame. They're attracted to money, riches and stuff. And certainly none of that was in there. And I didn't want any of it. And so the Lord had to come to me in various ways to get me in the church, to become his minister, to become a pastor. And so we teach in Bible school these principles that we teach in Bible school, that God, if you're called to the ministry, God will show you in his own way. He'll convince you personally that he's called you. No one else could do it. A Bible school cannot make you a pastor. What Raymond did for me was made me become a better teacher and a more proficient minister, and the principles of God to be connected. And I've never stayed disconnected from Raymond. All those years, I went 2 to 3 times a year, except for this last 2 years, be connected to Raymond. When I had that tremendous experience, and I always wondered why some people never had the same experiences like that. It was such a tremendous, to me, it was so dramatic that I had to leave here in the Spirit and go out into the Spirit and then come back. And so when I came to, I realized I was in a meeting and I had gone into the Spirit realm. And all of a sudden I realized that people was here. That's why I know that the spirit world is real, because I went out into the spirit, and my spirit was, if you want to say, sucked out of me, went into the realm of the spirit. But you know, God made that real to me, made the spirit world real to me. And the encounter, I had other encounters with the spirit where I was alone. When I went away, I had my first job, moved to Kenora, Ontario, and being there, I was very sad. I got sober. And I'm in this strange city, didn't know anybody. And all I did was study my Bible and spend most of the time in the basement of this house and studied the scriptures. And I got a bunch of teaching materials, and I sat there and put myself to school. And you said that, you know, being led unconsciously by the Spirit, sometimes you're led unconsciously. You don't know that God actually has led you. Look back on it and see God's been leading you. So I put myself to Bible school and started studying on my own. I didn't wait to do anything. And I told, we were talking about this on a trip, that I was applying, I got the material to apply to Jimmy Swaggart Bible School. And I was ready to go, and I saw Liberty Baptist School. And but I, you know, managed to go to, when Brother Hagin's school opened in the 70s, you know, God knew which ones to go, that should go there. And so when the Spirit of God talked to me that one afternoon, my wife was making lunch that day. I came home for lunch, and the Spirit of God spoke to me. He said, I want you to go to Rhema. I need you to go. You need to go right now. So we packed up. You know, nothing is ever the right time, especially when God speaks to you. You know, you don't have any money. You have all kinds of excuses why you shouldn't go. Well, once you know God told you to go, you got to go and pick up and go. And so you have to be convinced yourself that God called you to do what you're supposed to be doing right now. And that's the question that you have right now. Did God call you here at Faith City Church? Did He tell you to do certain things here at this church? Not just sit here, but do something. I believe that we'll all be responsible for what God wants us to do, because we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Christians will stand before Jesus and give account of what they did with the giftings they have. Every one of us will. And so it's not a fearful thing. I mean, we have some kind of fear, a little bit of it, but it's not a fearful that God's going to slap you around and twist your arm and tell you, why didn't you obey me? There's something about gifts and rewards that God will give out. And it says that some will not receive the rewards they should be. And that's what it says in the scripture. So I was convinced that God called me to the ministry to be a pastor. And I knew right from the get-go that I was not supposed to be a pastor. If I'm a pastor, then there's got to be people. I knew I was not called alone to fulfill a ministry. And we're yet to find out the real impact of this ministry here, right here in the city of Thunder Bay and in the area, this part of the world, the impact that we have. And I'm being bothered in the spirit about the impact that we have, that we should be having. And we need to get more hungry about the things of God and that we see God move in a spectacular way. And we ourselves are convinced. And so these seven churches that this man wrote about, John, he talked about the conditions of the church. The conditions of the church. And these Ephesus was a loveless church. Smyrna was a persecuted church. If we're going to be persecuted, we've got to be persecuted for the right reasons. Sometimes people do stupid things as a Christian, and they say they're being persecuted. No, it's because you've done some things that you shouldn't have done. And you need to act right? The Bible says if you suffer for Jesus, then you're doing good. But if not, you're on your own, basically, there. So Pergamos was a compromising church. And these are the conditions of the churches, compromising. Thyatira, corrupt church. Sardis, a dead church. You know, can you imagine a dead church? There's no spirit there. There's no anointing. And, you know, you can have games and fun in church, but you need the Spirit of God. You need the anointing. Philadelphia, faithful church, and Laodicea, or the Laodiceans, lukewarm. God says, I'll spew you out of my mouth. I want you to be hot or cold. And we should get hot or cold. So sometimes we need to review our lives and see what or not, where our faith is at. You know, is our faith in what you're saying on the television, or is it coming from the scripture, from the Word of God? So we need programs in the church, but we need spirit-inspired programs that come from the heart of God. So here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 3, I'm reading the King James Version, it says in here that there'll be an increase of demon activity in this world, an increase of demon activity. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God had created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. So we have people that are introducing doctrines that it says right here that they will say, people deceiving people with doctrines of devils. And we need to know whether someone is speaking the truth or not. Everybody has the Spirit. Everybody has the Holy Ghost in them. When somebody gets up and they say something, even your friends say things, you know whether or not that what they're saying is might be half-truth or some truth in it. We need to know that every one of us have the Holy Spirit. We can decide for ourselves what God's saying through that person, if it's right or not. Sometimes, we have to be careful here on Sunday mornings that, we have cameras today. And sometimes I think that there's some camera things that maybe the world shouldn't see what's happening and everything. We should see some things, I think. I think people don't understand if someone falls on the Spirit here and they say, what's going on there? Well, maybe they should see sometimes they shouldn't see it. Not all the time, because, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't let the Spirit of God move. And so if the Spirit of God moved on you, and it's up to you to yield. Like a lot of you, if the Spirit of God moves, you say, well, I ain't look like, Pastor Dave, man, the Lord, don't move on me. Did you see the way he fell? And different things. So I'll tell you, don't worry about it. Don't you worry about it a bit. You could yield if you want to, but I'll tell you something. The Spirit of God will come on you, and you could decide to yield or not, but I tell you, it feels so good to yield. Yeah. You're not going to say, nah, I don't want. It feels so good that you want to yield. Yeah. It happened to me a number of times where even with my wife, I'm driving with my wife down the road, and the Holy Ghost come upon me, and I slobber and cry like a baby, and try to talk to her, but I can't because I'm too drunk, and just tears coming down, and I'm telling God, Lord, please, it's not, this is a private matter between you and me, and I don't want my wife to see me this way. I remember when I was used to drink. I was one of these drunks that used to cry a lot, too, because I had a lot of pain. I don't know how anybody, have you been to a place in your life, some of you who were drinkers, that you cried? Anybody like that? You cried? Yeah? I just cried? Well, there's only six of us. I guess maybe there's six of us drinkers, and then nobody else was drinking. But I cried lots when I was drinking. But in the Spirit, it's the same thing. I remember one time getting up and giving a testimony in church. And I guess I must have been as old as this young man. And the pastor said, anybody got a testimony here they want to share? And I had a great day at work that day. And I was just so happy to be at a Wednesday night study. I said, yeah, I got a scripture. I got something I want to share. And I just got up, and the Spirit of God came upon me, and I cried and cried and cried and cried. And I'm standing there in front of everybody looking at me like, what is wrong with this guy? And I'm saying the same thing. So don't you worry about it, whether or not you're going to look like Dave or not. Because when it happens, you won't even care. Just like some people, when they say, the devil will say, I've committed the unpardonable sin. So they're afraid every day. The devil tells them, you committed the unpardonable sin. So if you committed the unpardonable sin, you won't even think about it. You won't even care anyway. So that couldn't be you. So the scripture said. So I felt the Lord spoke to me this morning. I had all this stuff read. And he said, I want you to share about these scriptures, about the last days. And so that's what I'm doing. There's not a sermon here. There's not that. I don't have a real message, but I'm just following what the Lord said to me. To share with you the scriptures that he's given about the last days, so that you know. That if you don't know, we are in the last days. And you have to understand what's happening so that you can catch these things are going on, so you're not lost. You know, when you go down the road There's signs everywhere. There's a curve sign. There's a bump sign. There's a narrow road sign. There's a stop sign, yield sign. There's signs everywhere. And you read those signs without even batting an eyelash. You just drive. In the spiritual realm, it's the same thing. You're seeing spiritual signs, but you're just going along. And God wants you to start paying attention and to pay attention to that on the inside of you, that anointing, what He wants you to do. How does He want you to respond to that caution sign? And so I've been more aware on the inside of me, myself, what's happening. And I, as a pastor, and I'm thinking, you know, so where are we going? Where are we taking this ship? What do we have to do? And so we're going to be doing some things. You know, church is exciting because we're always, the Spirit of God is always going to show us some things. We're going to be doing some things here. Like I say, when He says things, don't worry about anything. They say, don't worry. You know, people say, well, we're going to build a building. Well, you don't have to pay for it yourself. We're going to do this. You know, well, God's going to, just do what you can. You don't have to do it all. Like when the Lord told me something, He said, what, me? Well, no, He said, you don't have to do it all. There's going to be people coming to take on the responsibilities. So let's read again. Just know also, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 to 6. Also in the last days, perilous times shall come. Perilous times, it says, some version says that hard to deal with times. Difficult times, stressful times. Aren't we living in a stressful time? Aren't you, you know, when I heard about those people, those young men, these U.S. Marines getting blown up in the Afghanistan airport, I was thinking, my goodness, this is hard to deal with. The moms that sent their kids out there, 20-year-old kids, young men, hard to deal with. Finding unmarked graves. Those are hard times. And what do we do with that? And all the anger that's happening. What do we do with all the anger? Hard to deal with times. The earthquakes that's happened recently. The floods that's happening in the States right now. The people losing their houses in a moment of time. Bang, all their houses is gone. People are gone. Hard to deal with times. And the fires out west, hard to deal with times. And the smoke that's going around, we can smell. In fact, the other day when I was driving, the one day last week, I saw actually smoke going across the road. I'm driving in the city here. I said, where's that smoke coming from? Hard to deal with times. And people say, I don't want to say all these things, but it's going to get bad. And you have to know what your faith, where your faith is at. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. You know? All you just care about yourself, just me, us four, no more. Like the man prayed. Lord, bless me. Me and my wife, my son's wife, and and just us four, no more. And so people are selfish. They don't want to do anything for anybody else. Lovers of their own selves, covetous. You know what? You got to watch covetous. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. That's huge. Unthankful. People not grateful for what they get. You know? Unthankful, unholy. No one's chaste. They just do whatever they want to do. Oh, everything. Marriage not sacred anymore. Nothing's sacred. You want to go and hop into bed? Okay, let's go. Let's just get this thing, you know. Hey, that's how it is. Let's go on to the next person. These things are happening. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despiser of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For this is this sort are they which creep into houses and led captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. So we can't backtrack on what we believe. We need to stay within Scripture. You know, I was reading, I was watching something the other day of a preacher that's worldwide, very famous, sells a lot of books, and they ask him, is Jesus the only way? And that person didn't say no. Because Jesus said, I'm the only way. How are you going to deal with that? I'm the only way, the truth, and life. We don't want to offend the people. If I offend people, you know, they're not going to, I'm going to be as famous maybe, perhaps. I won't sell as many books. On Oprah and all these programs, is Jesus the only way? Well, I couldn't say for sure. This is a person who has thousands and thousands of people in his church every Sunday. You have to be definite. Jesus said, I'm the only way. And Peter said, there's no salvation any other than Jesus Christ. I believe it's Acts 4 or 5, 12, somewhere on there. Jesus is the only way. That's what it says. Jesus said, they that believe shall, will be saved. Those who believe now shall be damned. You can hardly preach that today. People say you're abusive. Now they're trying to charge churches for preaching the gospel like that. No, to shut us up so that we don't preach that gospel. I'm telling you, this is scary stuff. This is what you're living in. You're going to have to stand up and say you believe in Jesus. And even when I went to school, this is 35 years ago. I'm trying to count my days here, 35 years ago. And I was in university. A professor would get up and says to us, how many of you are Christians in here? And we just went, praise God. He said, I'm going to prove to you that the Bible is not true. And that you guys, by the time you leave here, you're not going to be a Christian anymore. And so this is professors saying that. And I knew that when I went to university, that my faith in the Scriptures had to be solid. That I'm not going to be shaken. And I'm not shaken. And I know that we're going to be pressured. There's going to be more pressure now today. And I don't know what your kids are going to experience. They're experiencing things you probably never experienced yourself. You don't know what your kids are experiencing from where they're living. They're living in your house, all right, but they're living outside your house online. You don't have to. When we were kids, if we want to have to see a dirty book, we had to go to the corner store and peek in there. And hope not nobody sees, look at one of those books. You know what I'm talking about. But nowadays, all you have to do, this little fella can go online and press a couple of buttons and see everything on there more than we ever could imagine. You can see murders on there, right? You can see all kinds of stuff on there. So the world's come to you. I was telling my wife, we were watching Star Trek the other day. And the Jetsons have been many, many years ago. And I was a kid watching reading Jetsons. I remember when I was in Suckle Creek, sitting in a tree there and looking at the Jetsons. And they're talking to each other on the screen. That's like 55 years ago. We thought this could never be true. And here we are. We're talking to each other on screens. The things that we're saying today, people are not believing, but 20 years from now, 15 years from now, if Jesus doesn't come, they're going to be doing a whole lot of things that you thought was impossible. Yeah. Hmm? What if we could beam each other up? You say, that doesn't happen. How did I get here? Who beamed me over here? Well, actually, it's not hard to believe because the Bible says that some people are beamed up. Christian men who was preaching were beamed to some other country. Brother Higgins said one day he was that way, he was preaching somewhere. All of a sudden, he's on the streets of China somewhere. And he's in the spirit, he's over there. Remember, he told us a story. He's preaching a message, and all of a sudden, he's beside his son-in-law, who's dying, and he's talking to him on his deathbed while he's preaching the message. I mean, that, you know, you think that's not incredible. That can happen. If you read in the book of Acts, this happened in the book of Acts. Read it. Guy's preaching to somebody, all of a sudden, whoop, he's gone. So beaming up is real. So maybe you might get beamed up. Some people hope you get beamed up. Anyway. Right now we have thousands of people. Thousands. When I left Rhema, over there, they were starting these churches called video churches. So you can go to a video church and show up there and have fun with your friends and your pastor. Everybody, you just watch the screen. So these are happening everywhere today. I don't know, last time I read in the scriptures, it says that you have to assemble together in church. And there's a corporate anointing. And there's also somebody called a pastor who actually leads that church that God ordained for him to be there. He said, these pastors, Ephesians 4, these pastors are called ministry gifts to the church. Yeah. And God has anointed them with certain kind of messages for you. And that they will be here until Jesus comes, the scripture says. They're not canceled. So if you don't belong to a local fellowship and you don't have a pastor, then you're out of fellowship. So that's what scripture says. Now that's not popular because everybody wants to be their own person. Right? I don't really need you. I don't need you. So that independence thing. I can read the Bible myself. Yes, you can, but there's certain things that God has ordained. There's you know, things that you need to learn. And so we're coming to a place right now that we're gonna have a lot of questions about things right now. How many of you have questions? Huh? Same three people. We never gain even one year. At least say amen, pretend, smile at least, you know. I mean, encourage the guy here. So, 2 Timothy 3 and 4 again. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. This is 3 and 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, for after their own lust they shall heap on themselves teachers having itching ears. Well, we want to go to somebody, he'll tell us everything's okay, and the way you're living is okay. You don't have to have no riffs here. Listen, you're okay, I'm okay. As long as you don't tell me what to do, I'm okay. I'll be your friend. Nobody likes to have someone tell them what to do, but the Bible says that's what the pastor's supposed to do. Preach the message. And if you're wrong, they'll talk to you. If not, you know, I find that there's, over the years, some have come here and they sit here over the years, and they've really never received me as their pastor. This has come. Because, you know, they have a friend here or whatever, or maybe they're friends with one of the pastors or whatever. But I can't tell them what to do. And I will not tell them what to do. I don't go around telling people what to do anyway, because Scripture is going to do that, right, by the Holy Ghost. When you talk to someone. So they will turn away their ears from the truth. It shall be turned to fables. Well, I heard they said that I better be careful how I say this, because some people need to understand this. They say that the story of Adam and Eve and those books, some of those other books, like the stories, they were just only stories, they said. Adam and Eve is only a story. So it didn't really happen. It's only a story. So that's you have to understand that. You'll notice that if you'll see this over the years. I've seen it on different news things, and people say it themselves, you know. So we can tell when the Holy Ghost is moving. Some people can't tell if the Holy Ghost is moving or not. We can tell. You know? Well, he doesn't always move the same. Sometimes the Holy Ghost moves and people don't even know Holy Ghost is moving. They're just sitting there. And the Holy Ghost is moving supernaturally, just looking around. But the Holy Ghost is moving. And they don't even know when the prophecy is happening in church. Like, prophecy doesn't always say, hey, listen. It doesn't always happen that way, but the prophecies are coming. Bang, 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 bang. Discerning spirits is coming. Word of knowledge is coming, flying in the church. And people don't even know it's the Holy Ghost is moving. That's why Brother Hagin used to say, some people won't even notice the Holy Ghost move if he walked into church with a red cowboy hat on, walking down the middle of the aisle. 2 Peter 3:4, know this, that first, that there shall be in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? So that's happening right now. People say, Jesus is not coming. He's never coming. He said, they've been saying that for so long. Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this is willingly, for this they willingly are ignorant of that. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were lit of old, the earth was standing out of the water, and out of water and in the water. So some people in this scripture, it says they've given up that Jesus actually is coming. So they say, he's not coming, so let's go ahead and just live the way we want to live. So the devil wants you to have that kind of discouragement. Say, oh, you got a lot of time, just go ahead and live the way you live, and just before he comes back, you can just repent. And sneak in. You know? So you could be right in the middle of stealing a bank and the Lord will show up. Yeah? You like that, eh? Sitting in a bar, drinking his beer, just about to light up a cigarette. Though you don't light cigarettes anymore in the bar, but you know, you're out there. Well, he's not coming back. So this is what's happening. People are discouraged because of it. So don't hang around people who feel that way. Hang around people who say, yeah, Jesus is coming. We've got to live like he's going to come anytime. Titus 2:13, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the Lord, of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. This is Titus chapter 2, verses 13 to 15. That's a good scripture. You got to look forward, like get up every day. Yeah, this could be the day. But by the afternoon, guys, there'll be no chicken. Jesus is coming. Ernie is going to be so upset. I haven't seen Ernie sit there for a while. I called him the other day. I said, Ernie, where are you? Are you at the lineup? He said, no. He said, he's sick. Sick of coming to church. No, he didn't say that. No. he's sick. He said he's sick. His wife got sick, his children. He didn't want to take any chances. Because I think it's bad chicken they've been eating. Because he carries out of this bucket walking around town. He said, I think it's the grease. So, but no one knows when Jesus is coming. You know, this is something funny. Like, over the years, some of us, you know, have been around a little bit longer than you. We've heard ever since, you know, when I was somewhere in the 80s, we thought that Gorbachev, he was the Antichrist. How many of you remember that? Huh? He had that mark on his forehead. That was the mark of the beast. Huh? And it's got, we're just like looking at the news all the time, and what you going to say, what you going to do. We're excited about it. Like he's got to be the Antichrist. You remember that?
Yes.
You were counting on it, eh? We think that's it, you know. So different ones over the years, people said different ones were Antichrist, and you know that Hitler was Antichrist. Different ones, but it's the Antichrist was in them. The spirit was in them, but he's not the Antichrist.
Amen. Amen.
They say he's going to be a Jewish man. So, everybody who prophesied that someone was Antichrist, they're all dead. And so there's got to be someone that's coming. That's the Antichrist. So we're waiting around. Now, 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 says, little children, 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, King James, little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, and even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that is in this last time. So there are different Antichrists, with the spirit of Antichrist in them, that is doing stuff around the world, causing havoc and working on behalf. Because just as much God needs us to yield to the Holy Spirit so that He can work His will through us, the devil is doing the same thing with his people, using them to express His will. So He needs a vehicle to work His will through people. So you have to understand that God has no right at the moment to intervene in people's lives unless someone allows him to. He just doesn't come and enforce people. You have to yield to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And he comes in, he expresses himself, and he has no legal right on the earth to do anything. We, his church, give him that right. Because Satan is the god of this world. I sent a couple of people this thing, you know, Pastor John George wrote this, that God is not in control of this world. And the devil is actually controlling a lot of things. And somebody said, that whole thing there with the young men getting blasted up in Afghanistan, God is not in control of that. That's not God. That's the god of this world that's done that. And so he's only in control of those who yield to him and allow him to work through their lives. So when people say, relax, everybody, God is in control. Well, no. He's only going to be in control where you're at if you allow him in your life. And so the guy driving down the road, he hasn't prayed maybe. He hasn't prayed defense. He doesn't know how to apply the blood of Jesus in his life. Doesn't know how to release his angels. He's driving down the road and a drunk driver comes and kills him. Well, God's not in control of that. Well, why did that guy die? Well, I don't know. He has to have he has his own spirituality. He prays for himself. Wouldn't it be amazing that you have to pray for everybody all the time? You know? God will always look for somebody to pray for somebody, but God is not in control of everybody. You have to understand that He is not in control of everything. So we look at it, we look at this world and say, well, where is God in this? And people are saying, where is God in that? Well, He's not in there, in those situations. 2 John 1:7 says, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. So people who don't confess Jesus, they don't live like Jesus is Lord, their antichrist is working. At work in there. So somebody said, is social drinking okay? Well, you know, is it? You go drinking, and especially when you know someone is going to hurt other people, you're drinking. Your drink is going to hurt someone, you shouldn't be drinking. And don't eat ice cream around me. Yeah? So because, if you do something, Paul said, that makes another person fall, it's wrong. So we need a strong foundation in this last day to know what the Bible says about different things. I'm just reading scripture here about different things that we've seen. Here's let's go to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2, the Message Bible. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2, Message Bible. The scripture says that the word of the Lord will stand in heaven forever. Psalm 119, verse 89. The word of the Lord will stand forever. It doesn't change. No matter if people's custom changes or thinking changes. Here it says Romans 12, 1 and 2. Here's what you want to do. God is helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around in life. And place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can ever do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God and you'll become changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you. Develop well-formed maturity in you. So the Bible says that we shouldn't become adjusted to all the culture that's around us and start taking in their belief system and how they feel about different things, their opinions about the church. And we need to stay well within balance of the things of God. Latter days, these things are happening. It's not going to get better very quickly. And we need to be ready. I just gave those scriptures to you. I just felt that's what I had to do this morning. I prayed about this and I just said, Lord, I don't have a sermon on it. But just share those scriptures and remind people. He said, sometimes you don't have to teach people. What you have to do is prepare people and instruct them about certain things. Okay, so I have a lot of sermons. Yes, my wife, I work day and night on sermons. Continually, whether I'm in this office or my home, I would sit sometimes 3-4 hours. You know, I'm surprised. I take my dog sometimes. Sully, he'll just sit on a stool. We bought him a stool for $300. he sits on the stool. You can't sit in it because if you go in, he'll growl at you. He says, "My seat." So I'll put him there. I'll leave in the morning. I'll come back. He's still sitting there. So anyway, sometimes my wife will leave. I'm leaving there 4 or 5 hours. I'm sitting in the same seat for 4 hours. Didn't move. Just to stay in the Word. And that's what happens sometimes to me. I just get lost. And sometimes Pastor Ken had to call me and say, "Hey, it's church time." "Oh, really?" Sometimes you get lost in the Scriptures, staying in there. Praise God. I just wanted to remind you of these because I believe the Lord wants to remind you about we are living in the last days. Things are going to happen. You are not going to have questions. You're going to have questions about things. And there's a lot of disarray in the world. Things are happening. People pulling you. So stay strong in the Scriptures. Stay with the Scripture. Don't be pulled into opinions and say, "Well, here's what the Bible says." What does the Bible say about it? And form your opinion according to what Scripture says. And we don't have to be fighting each other online. You know, like, I don't like what Maxine says. I'm going to tell her what I think about this. No. You know, no, we're not going to fight in front of people. The Bible said, "Let your moderation be known to all people, your gentle spirit to everyone, that the Lord is near." That's what it says. That the Lord is near. Philippians 4 and 5. God is here. He's in us. The Spirit of God is in us. The Antichrist is here. Yes, the Antichrist is here, but we're not afraid of him. You say, "Well, they're going to cut your head off this afternoon. And if you don't confess, you have to, you know, say Jesus is not Lord. We're going to cut your head off." You say, "Okay, I'll say that." No, you have to be. It's not, you know, it might. Hey, these are happening right now in some countries. Yeah, so it's happening. We want the musicians and singers, if you're around here, Pastor Steve, Glory to God. Anybody else? Miss Kendra? Praise God. We got a bassist, vocalist. Any tambourine players? Praise God. So Mama's gone home? She's still here? Oh, we'll have to say goodbye to her before she leaves. So Kendra's mom is leaving today? Just give her a hand. Tell her to come back. Praise God. I know. While she's here, she's our daughter. We try to do our best to help her out. Sometimes we have to spank her. No. She's a good daughter, spiritual daughter, and we love her very much, and all the kids, and even Pastor Steve. Praise God. Let's go ahead and stand up, guys. Everybody say, God's word is true. Say even this, if the spirit of Antichrist is moving, I still believe God. Say, the Bible is true. The Bible is God's word. It's written for me. I will never be confused. I'll never be afraid. I have the Spirit of God living in me. He's guiding me. He's protecting me. I'm not alone. I'm never alone. Thank God I have a family to support me spiritually. And I support them. We believe the Bible is true. The Bible is God speaking to me. Thank you, Lord, for your enduring word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise Him. Go ahead and praise Him. Thank Him for the word. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we pray for every certain person here that is feeling a little rough this morning. We just pray the power of God. We stand with them. We pray the power of God to move in their bodies right now. We confess and confer and decree healing in their body. Pain to go, healing to flow, in the name of Jesus. And people that are believing God for different things, we're standing with them, that your word is true concerning their home, their marriages, their children, their finances, their work, their jobs, the plans that they have. We just pray in the name of Jesus. We call on the angels of God and we bind the devil from working against them. We command the spirits that are attacking them. We command you to stop right now in the name of Jesus. Bible says, whatsoever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. So we bind the works of darkness. Get your hands off everyone in this church service right now, and their families and their children, their husbands and wives and all their things, in the name of Jesus. And so, Father, you said the angels will go to work for us when we release them, saying the word of God. And so, angels, go forth and cause the answers to come. And any hindrance that the enemy has put there to stop them from discouraging them. Thank you for that, Lord. If you're here this morning and you've been away from God and you say, Lord, forgive me. I've been wrong. I've sinned. Forgive me. I'm coming back to you. I'm going to be ready when you come. I'm going to be ready all the time. In the name of Jesus. If you're online watching and you don't know Jesus, Jesus is the Savior of the world. The Bible said, whosoever shall call upon Him shall be saved. You just call on Jesus. Say, Jesus, save me. He'll come. Say, I believe you're the Son of God. Come in my heart. Save me now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.